You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Bills, special crossover edition Locked On Jets. I'm your host on the Locked On Bills side, Kevin Misery, here with Locked On Jets host John Butchko. Going to give you some of the best topics around these two teams. We talked a couple weeks ago with John. John and I spoke. We had some interesting things to say. Now this game, I don't know, might be a little bit more interesting with the two rookie quarterbacks playing. So we're going to get into the Jets offense, Bills defense in segment one, Bills offense, Jets defense in segment two, and then maybe some long-term predictions and some what could we see going forward in the final quarter here in the last segment, in the third segment. But first, want to say, how you doing today, John?
I'm doing well, better than the Jets are.
That's what you said, man. You want to elaborate on that or nothing? Nothing to say there.
I mean, you guys saw what happened the last time the Jets and the Bills played.
It hasn't gotten
much better since then for the Jets.
It was an interesting game. I think I was in the camp of saying that McCown would at least be good. I mean, I remember 2017 Josh McCown, who actually looked good to me.
Weren't we saying like 17-13 Jets? It wasn't something like that. I don't remember the exact score, but I think we both picked the Jets in a narrow game if Matt Barkley started. And then from play one, the Bills went out there and just kicked the Jets' butts up and down the field.
Yeah, I definitely had the Jets winning. I think you were the game I had two because we didn't know if Nathan Peterman would start. I ended up obviously getting cut. Like he should have been. And then I just had no idea how to predict a game with Matt Barkley playing, who actually looked good and might be the Bills' long-term quarterback too. But want to talk to you. Let's get it started on the Jets side. News out of New York, is Darnold supposed to play?
Yeah, it sounds like he's back at practice. It sounds like all signs are pointing in that direction. There were some reports last week that he was actually healthy and the Jets held him out because they felt he didn't get enough reps during the week. So okay. I do get the feeling you're going to see Sam Darnold this week. I think that this will finally be his return to the lineup.
Yeah, and we spoke about the offense a little bit last time. It was a little weird because I think we knew at that point Darnold wasn't going to go. I think by the time we recorded, we were late in the week there. Do you know what's changed with the Jets offense beside obviously him playing? Anything of note on the O-line? I know Robbie Anderson looks like he'll play. Anything to note, maybe differences in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, offensive line, that there is a shakeup there. James Carpenter, who's the left guard, is out for the season with an injury. So Jonathan Harrison has taken over at center, and Spencer Long, who had been the center, slid over to left guard. Now, last week, Long missed the game because he was apparently ill. So Dakota Dozier took over for Long at left guard. So the Jets have kind of been shuffling the offensive line. My hunch this week is that if Long's healthy, he'll probably play left guard with Harrison at center. And it's been a rough year for Long. The Jets signed him to fill a big hole that they had at center, and his play has been just as poor as his predecessor, Wesley Johnson, a year ago. Johnson really struggled with blocking. Well, Long at points this year struggled to execute a shotgun snap. So, you know,
I mean, I get it. What's the interior? Is there a unit that could play serviceable, or is a combination in there could be dangerous for the Jets for the last 4 weeks?
I don't think it's a great group. I mean, I don't think it was a great group to start the year, but I think, you know, this was a Jets offensive line that its ceiling at the start of the year was probably middle of the pack, and they had zero depth. And, you know, I watched last week when Dozier was in there. It's interesting because somebody I write with on my website, gangrenenation.com, thought Dozier played a great game. Whereas I watched, when I came away with the opposite conclusion, I thought Dozier was a real liability there. And it wasn't always blow blocks. Sometimes it was just his inability to contain a guy, which forced a double team, which freed up a defender elsewhere. So I think, yeah, I think this is not a great looking Jets offensive line entering the game. But now I'd like to ask you a little bit about the Bills defense, because I know last time we spoke, you were very high on the way the Bills were playing defensively, and of course they played a great game against the Jets. Who doesn't? So what's your feeling on this Bills defense right now?
Now the Bills defense, they're number two overall, a couple yards behind the Ravens. Number one overall pass defense. It's been really good against the pass, pretty much no matter who they're playing against. They even played good against Rodgers. You know, obviously we played that really good against Kirk Cousins. Had a really good second half against Philip Rivers. So their pass defense is legitimate. It plays varied. I mean, they have some really good DBs. even with a mild hole at CB2. But they can get after it. I mean, they can get after the passer. They don't have a real weakness on defense, which makes it interesting. But when they needed to stop the most, John, last week against Miami, after going up and Josh Allen potentially showing as much as he ever has in the last 2 weeks, they didn't get it done. There's a couple of bad penalties, one on a backup rotational defensive tackle, Jordan Phillips, a guy they really like from Miami, get cut in the middle of the year, came over and has been great as a backup DT. Through the foot of the running back away. I mean, I believe it was Drake, and it was weak, but they called 15 yards on that penalty. And that was set up by a 50-yard or 40-yard pass interference on Matt Milano, who's been a rocket outside linebacker. So they got like 65 yards and then ended up scoring to go ahead there. So it was a bad drive. Other than that, I mean, they needed that stop. They would have won that game. Almost came back, and Josh Allen almost connected to Charles Clay in the end zone. Should have been a touchdown. Much debate over that play, how good Allen was there. But the defense has been good. Needed one stop there, and they'd be, I guess, still at the outside, you know, especially with as bad as the sixth seed is in the AFC. But their defense is good. They're one that they're going to build upon long term. And I mean, I just think that they have such a good time with their young defensive core, which I mean, as Jets, you guys have seen us play. I mean, you're looking at Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, look at Trey White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, some guys that they lost their nickelback, a really promising guy in Taron Johnson. They really liked, they're going to roll Raphael Bush, a combo safety there. So it could be a little downfall there. And then obviously if there's a weakness, it's Levi Wallace, an undrafted free agent from Alabama. Who's been decent, but obviously you can take advantage of, and they have a lot of depth on the D-line. I mean, from their backups, you know, Eddie Yarbrough and Trent Murphy, to their starters and Hughes and Moss in there at the defensive end spot. You're going to see a pretty good, solid, rounded Bills defense.
So what does it look like schematically?
So they'll run a 4-3, a pretty cover-2 oriented team. Very rarely will they man up in certain situations. They're not suited to play a lot of man, so you're going to see a lot of zone looks. It's that Tampa 2 principles. So you're going to really see a get after it with four. They don't really blitz. They were one of the least lowest blitzing teams in the league. And then all of a sudden, Leslie Frazier decided to start blitzing. I believe it started against New England a couple of weeks ago. They felt they had to try to create a turnover. The offense wasn't getting anything done. And then they'll switch back and forth on that philosophy, but you'll see them blitz that nickel. They love Raphael Bush now that Taron Johnson's hurt. So he'll be more of a blitzing nickel back. They'll send Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano at times. Lorenzo Alexander's a guy that they can play a couple positions. So that's kind of their base philosophy, and you're going to get two defensive ends that are just going to get after it. And then Star Latulele is going to be a run clogging guy. A lot of the defend front seven, will give Star Latulele a lot of credit. It's not a big deal. Doesn't have the stats, but apparently, and if you talk to anyone inside the defense, they'll say that he's part of the reason that a lot of these guys are getting free on the edge.
They'll tell you, they dominated the Jets last time, and this is just a Jets offense that, you know, it was entering the year, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be a spectacular unit, but just a lot of underperformances there. You know, you look at the wide receiver position with Quincy Enunwa, Robbie Anderson. Enunwa got off to a big start this year, got a little banged up. Since his return, he really hasn't made that big of an impact. Anderson's having a disappointing year. Isaiah Crowell, who's the lead back now, has been very up and down. He had one of his better games against Tennessee, but he seems to be a feast or famine guy. So, you know, and I already mentioned the offensive line. So, I mean, I think you look at this particular matchup, and I mean, I see a big edge for the Bills. I think the Jets may be hard pressed to move the ball effectively.
Yeah. I mean, the Bills are going to win games on their defense. Last week was interesting to where the offense almost came and won them a game. Even though they did only score 17, it was a really weird game from the start. But that defense is generally going to be the reason they win game. That's how they beat the Vikings. That's, you know, they pretty much dominated the Titans defensively. They dominated the Texans defensively, which was one of my favorite performances by this defense. They absolutely crushed Deshaun Watson and caused, basically, it wasn't for a pass interference on Will Fuller before he went out with his injury. The Bill pretty much had that locked up. And then it took, on top of the bad pass interference, it took a Nathan Peterman pick six for the Texans to actually win that game. So Bills defense is good. This is the side of the ball I expect the Bills defense to win over the Jets offense. But, I mean, I'm interested in discussing the other sides of the ball with you, John. I want to know, a little bit more about the Jets defense. It's a unit that I've always personally liked, and I like Tremaine Johnson, but wanted to get into that here in a moment, but did want to take a quick time to mention this episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand with a touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium ion batteries. Those will last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can be used to recharge your phone and other gadgets while you're wearing them. Perfect for your friends and family on their holiday gift list. And for our special listeners, we've got a special deal for you guys. 20% off your entire order if you go to actionheat.com/lockedon, or you can just use promo code locked on and you get 20% off that order. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we really thank them for sponsoring this podcast. And make sure you use promo code locked on. Okay, John, I want to get into the Jets defense. Unit I expected to be pretty good this season. I don't know where your preseason expectations were. Can you get into like where you thought the Jets defense would be and where they are currently?
I thought it was an okay, not great unit. There are a lot of people who had much higher expectations when you looked at some of the names on this defense. I wasn't as high on them as a lot of people, and I think it's been up and down. I think they've been a little worse than I thought they'd be, but they haven't been terrible. They've been some great games, some very poor games. I think if you look at who the disappointments are, I think number one is Tremaine Johnson, the corner they got in free agency. And I think we probably talked about him the last time. He had been hurt. He came back. First play of the game, he gave up a big completion to a guy the Bills had just signed off the practice squad. It's been that kind of year for him where he's been in and out of the lineup. When he's been in there, he hasn't been very effective. Now, he is coming off a game where he had a pick six, so at least a little sign of life for him. But he also had a big penalty on the last drive and missed a tackle on the game-losing touchdown for the Jets. So I think, you know, he's the guy who's been probably the biggest disappointment. I'd say the second biggest disappointment has probably been Leonard Williams, who was the first-round pick from 2015. He was a Pro Bowler second year. His third year was okay. He just hasn't been that good this year. It's not just a lack. Last year, people were complaining a lack of impact plays. This year, I mean, he's been losing on the line a lot. So I think those are the two guys who have really been underperforming. You have the nickel guy, Buster Screen, he's always been kind of up and down, probably more down than up. So, you know, his performance has not been great. And the Jets don't really have much off the edge. That was one position, even entering the season, people were not expecting big things from. They don't really have a great edge pass rusher. So, you know, you add these things up, it's not a great unit. You know, there are some pieces that are playing well, like Avery Williams and Jamal Adams, the safety, second-year safety, is having a Pro Bowl caliber year, really just all.
Yeah, Jamal Adams is a guy I really personally like. Good, John. Does he do everything well, or what does he mostly
all over the
do?
Place playing well again? Well, he's been effective pretty much doing everything. You know, he's been a top notch run defender this year. He's been effective in coverage. He's been a good blitzer. He's actually been pretty productive as a blitzer, generating pressures.
And Marcus May too. I know I check PFF quite frequently. He's got like a 95 or something pass rush grade. Is that legitimate, or how's he being used?
Well, he's actually out for the year. He's on IR, and okay. It's been kind of a lost year for May. When he's been in the lineup, he has been very effective. I don't think there's any question. He's been very steady, very effective. He's typically the deep middle guy. So there's no doubt he's a very good player. It's just been a year where he ended last season hurt. He had off-season surgery. He suffered another injury in training camp, missed the first couple games. I think he's had like three or four injuries this year, and now he's on IR. So he's been limited to like six games. When he's been in there, he's been effective, but he's out for the year, unfortunately.
Yeah, I remember watching him play, so I missed that injury last time we played. So did he get hurt in the Bills game again?
You know, I don't recall. I don't recall. Okay. He's been in and out. It's been such a lost year. I have a tough time.
Okay.
When he's been in and when he's been out, because he's been a revolving door.
How's the backup Miles been?
So actually the Jets have the last couple of weeks used Darryl Roberts in his place as the corner. He started the year as the dime back. He was a backup corner, and they used him They've been using him as the deep middle guy, and you know, last week he got burned twice. Once the Titans connected on one, they didn't. So we may see somebody new in there like Miles this week, but it was a surprise. The Jets have used one of their backup corners, Daryl Roberts, in that deep middle role to replace them. So let me ask you this about the Bills. When last we saw the Bills, Matt Barkley was completing passes left and right. So is Matt Barkley not the future for the Bills?
No, but it's funny you mentioned that because I think he did play himself into a quarterback two contract with one game against the Jets. I think that the Bills will do anything they can to make sure they get him signed and here long term to kind of help Josh Allen. As Josh Allen has alluded to, both Derek Anderson and Matt Barkley being pivotal in his success. A lot of people just wiped that under the bridge and said, yeah, whatever, Josh, you're just saying that kind of stuff. He looked a lot better out of his injury off the bye. So there might be something to that. I mean, he's been a much better quarterback since coming back. I think he's PFF's highest rated, one of their highest rated quarterbacks, if not the highest rated quarterback in the last 2 weeks. He's just been dominant on the ground. He's been making throws. His numbers look a little skewed, but that's because the Bills just went out and cut Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes, their first and fourth receivers, would have been to start the year. So they cut their one and their four. That's pretty eye-opening to say, like, hey, you're not helping out our future franchise quarterback. Zay Jones went from a number two to being pretty much their number one, and that's, you know, mainly what got him cut. Robert Foster probably jumps into a traditional, you know, you saw him in the Jets game, you know, traditional maybe third receiver. You know, now he's playing probably as the number two receiver here. And they really like Isaiah McKenzie, a guy that they claimed from Denver. He's been a punt kick returner as well as a gadget guy who played really well against Jacksonville. And Deontay Thompson, a guy they've really always liked. They've had him a couple stints now, and he's been just a solid number four receiver for them. So they just felt they could cut those two receivers. Josh Allen has been way more of a treat to watch than people ever thought, especially after a couple of his early season games. So, I mean, I think he's competing, obviously. I think this game means a lot to him. I think he's mentioned maybe potentially feeling burned that the Browns or the Jets, you know, didn't see him as a quarterback, you know, ahead of, you know, call it Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. So we'll see. I mean, I think this is a game he wants. I think he's an interesting player. Some people have called it one of the most interesting players to watch toward the stretch. The Bills offense, as you know, doesn't have much else. LeSean McCoy played well against the Jets last time they played. He's always going to do it for you. The Bills' O-line just is beat up and poor as the Jets' O-line. And, I mean, the same type of receiving core. I mean, they're very similar offenses, John.
So who should we expect to see on the Bills on the offensive line? Is it reshuffled as well?
Yeah, so you're going to get their same tackles they've rolled with all year, Dan Dawkins, Jordan Mills, who have played okay football. It's not really the main issue there. They've played
well, as the Jets is.
Yeah, I mean, they've played pretty decent tackle football there. I haven't had a big problem with Mills or Dawkins, but interior's just been a mess. Ryan Groy is going to come in for Russell Bodine, who played pretty well after replacing Groy earlier this year. So Groy, you never know what you're going to get with him. He's played really good football and then really bad football. John Miller started at right guard. He's back in the lineup, so he's okay. Wyatt Teller, their fifth round pick, is going to start at left guard. So replacing Vlad Dukas. I think they made that move against the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. So that's going to be their O-line. It's not great. I'm putting Bodine in IR and putting Groyne is definitely a downgrade, as much as a lot of people don't like Bodine. But Charles Clay is another hot topic, a tight end. He played really well in blocking and just has just regressed a lot in the passing game. We don't know what happened there. But still getting meaningful minutes blocking. And Jason Kroon's really their receiving tight end now. So I think it's an interesting matchup, Bills offense, Jets defense. Is there how do you see that final matchup kind of approaching? What do you think the Jets will change to account for that really weird creative Brian Daboll?
Well, you know, if we're talking about what they changed from the last game, I mean, they kind of changed everything. The problem with the way the Jets played in the last game is, you know, usually the second time you see a team, you figure out the adjustments you can make, but nothing worked for the Jets in that game. So I don't even know, like,
plus another quarterback.
when it's that systematic of a breakdown, like, I don't even know, like, what you can pinpoint that you could change. I mean, I expect that they're going to test Allen a lot. Jets MO is to blitz a lot. And especially against a rookie quarterback, they're going to force the rookie to make plays, you know, to stand in tall under pressure and hit passes. This is a defense that, you know, relies on. You'll see a lot of man-to-man coverage. They'll force other teams' receivers to try and win one-on-one, which unfortunately for them, other teams' receivers have been doing quite a bit this year. But I mean, I think that's probably the approach. But I mean, as simple as it sounds, the biggest adjustment the Jets are going to have to make is just play a lot better, because they couldn't play much.
It's worse
than they did that first game.
I expect them to play better. And, you know, coming up right now, we're going to first check out, make sure you check out Locked On NFL. I was on their show this week, so check that out. Talking about Josh Allen, one of the great Matt Williams, and to break down the best NFL topics, as well as this is Locked On Bills, Locked On Jets crossover, your local daily experts bringing you your best podcast here locally from each of our markets. So tune in every day. All right, John, quickly, I want some score predictions. I'm always interested to see what, beside the score prediction, what the Jets I want to say 4 week plan. What are the Jets trying to accomplish in this game and then their remaining three as well?
I mean, I think it's tough to pick against the Bills, or more accurately, I think it's tough to pick the Jets. I mean, after what we saw last week, where they blow a 16-0 lead against the Titans team that was pretty much sleepwalking through the first 35 minutes of that game. It did not play that well, even though they came back. They really did not play that well the last 25 minutes of that game. So I just can't see this Jets team going on the road and winning a game. I think the Bills win fairly comfortably. I think it's going to be, I don't know, a 27-14 kind of game.
Okay.
I think over the last 4 weeks, I mean, there's really only one objective left. I mean, this team is not making the playoffs. They're not going to have a winning record. The coaching staff's probably going to get fired. I think from the Jets' perspective, it's all about Sam Darnold. Can he finish strong? Can he at least give you some optimism heading into the offseason that this thing's heading in the right direction with the quarterback?
Interestingly, the Bills are in a similar scenario. I mean, just this week, the Bills finally said that they're quitting on the season. I mean, it took them till the last loss against Miami, they really thought they could go 9-7 and maybe make a run at it, especially with their defense is playing as well as they are. They thought there was a shot at it, especially coming out of that Jacksonville game. I've actually been pretty good at Bills predictions. One of my misses was last time we talked, I picked the Jets. Picked the Dolphins last week, was right about that. I'm like, I don't know, 10-2 or something in Bills predictions this season.
Good for you.
Yeah, so I'm not a homer. I won't always pick the Bills, as you noticed. I do think at home they're a much better football team. They're just historically under Sean McDermott, they've been a lot better. I think they're under his two seasons, they're going to go to 8-5 now at home. 8-4, maybe 9-5, something right around there. Mm-hmm. They play pretty solid winning football. I love for Sam Darnold to get a taste of New Era Field, some of these crazy wins. It's not supposed to be great forecast out. I have the Bills going 24-14. I think it'll be kind of interesting throughout, maybe a final surge on the Bills' defensive end toward the end. But I think it'll be interesting. I'll pick the Bills. So same thing long-term for the Bills. I mean, I think they're really similar teams. In that they want to see Josh Allen's development, just like the Jets. I mean, the Jets have a ton of money to spend this offseason, so do the Bills. So I'm interested to track both teams and how they build around Darnold. The Bills have a defense in place too. So, John, tell our listeners where they can read your stuff and find you kind of as the season wraps up.
So I write at gangrenenation.com, which is SB Nation's New York Jets site, so you can read my stuff there.
Perfect. And you can follow me for any Jets listeners or Jets followers at Kevin Masseri at Lockdown Bills. I write for the Bills Wire from the Sports USA Today Sports Media Group. John, any final nuggets for us? Anything you looking for? Anything you want to throw at the listeners?
Well, you know, if it's going to be as bad as you say it will be weather-wise Sunday, I just hope everybody wears their action heat.
That's correct. John, can I ever catch you up in Buffalo? Are you ever going to make it out to a 20-degree game?
Maybe. You know, I was up there like 4 years ago. It was the summer. I had a college roommate who got married, so I have been to Buffalo, but I've never been there during the football season. So yeah, maybe one year I'll make the trek.
Maybe you should make the trek and maybe get lucky like the Bills had against the Bills Colts in 6 feet of snow. It's funny, the Bills lastly play in a part of Buffalo that is just has its own weather forecast. It is historically 10 times worse than the city. So you can be in the city and drive 2 miles closer to the stadium and have 3 feet of snow and then get to 6 feet of snow by the time you get to the stadium. And then the northern part of the city will have zero snow, John.
Oh, I remember reading something Bill Polian either wrote or listening to something he said where like the reason the stadium's there is that the Bills got the land so cheap because of how much snow is in that area.
Exactly. And it was built on an Indian burial ground, which a lot of people think has something to do with it too. So It's crazy. It's a lot of people, it's not indicative quite of the Bills weather. It's just in a crazy lake effect rift, and it can cause for some crazy football games. But we'll see if this is one of them, John. We'll see if we catch you up here in Buffalo at some point in the future. But from Locked On Bills, Locked On Jets, I'm Kevin Masseri. We'll talk to you later.